ever. We're so privileged to have him and Tani Rihanna with us and their family. It's a huge honor and privilege to have you here, and we look forward to hear what God's laid on your heart. Give him a hand.
Thank you, Eddie. I just want to thank the worship team this morning. I don't know whether you know what a blessing you were to me this morning, and I believe to everybody, yeah. And you know the gifting and the obedience to God and hearing and saying what He's telling you to say, it's so spot on. So just, you are precious to us, and I just want to thank the Lord for you, okay? All of you. Right, shall we just pray? Yes, Lord, we just thank you for this morning of being together. And Lord, as we worship together, we realize it's all about you. It's not about us, Lord. It's about you. And this morning, we want to honor you, Lord. We want to ask that you will be lifted up in this meeting, Lord. And we also want to give you the rightful place in our hearts. And Lord, you gave us the promise, and you said that your word will never return empty to you, but will bring forth a harvest. And this morning, Lord, even in my weakness as I deliver some words, Lord, I just pray and trust you, Lord, that there will be a mighty harvest in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, so I think you all realize that the Lord has been speaking to us in this congregation for a while now about intimacy. You know, we had many messages about hearing the word of God in your life, or hearing God's voice. And this morning, I want to expand a bit on that. I am going to be very personal about my own life, so I'm going to share things to you which are very personal. Unfortunately, I can't preach because I'm not trained in that, so I can only share from my life. And I just think you all relax now because you're not going to hear a sermon. Okay. Right. So I'm going to talk about friendship with Jesus. When did my friendship with Jesus start? When I was 16 years old at school. At high school, the day when I stood up and I was invited to give my heart to Jesus. That's the day when the friendship started. But long before that, God already spoke to me. I remember being a young child in Ladysmith in the church, and I'm honestly convinced I saw angels in the Dutch Reformed Church. I was about three. And my parents laughed at me. And then, you know, as a little child, you know, the Lord just worked with me, and He prepared me for that day when He came into my life and I became a friend of Jesus. But friendship is not a static thing. Friendship is a thing that grows, you know. And friendship is also a two-way thing. It's not a one-way thing. You can't be a friend to somebody who doesn't want to be your friend. The wonderful thing, as we sang in this last song, Jesus wants to be our friend. And whenever you have accepted Him, He becomes your friend. And this morning, I'm going to say a few words on how we can become better friends of Jesus. Right, so the next slide, please. I just hope it comes, because I don't know everything what I want to say by heart. Yes. Yeah, you know, when I started to talk about this, I asked the Lord, He must, yeah, everything that I'm going to say this morning, I got from the Lord. I didn't go and read books about this topic or go on the internet. I'm very honest with you, everything. I asked God questions, and He answered me. And the first question I asked is, yeah, it's this verse that really struck me, is in John 15, verse 14, where Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." I think it's the only verse in Scripture where Jesus refers to friendship with us. And in that verse, He connects friendship immediately with obedience. And the next two verses, it says, "If you love me, you will obey me." So what is our love for Jesus? Is it a fuzzy feeling? No, it's not. It is a relationship of obedience. So I just want to leave that with you. And then the next, you know, obedience or obeying is not a nice word in our modern society. People don't like to be told that, because I think they think back of their childhood years. You know, there was this cookie pot on the table, and they were only allowed to take one, not two or three. And there was always a finger pointing at them. So people think of obedience as rules. Now, the good news that I have for you this morning is it's not about rules, it's about relationship. The obedience that I'm going to talk about this morning is about growing that intimate relationship with Jesus. And I just want to show you that Jesus, like in everything, gave us the perfect example of obedience. And while I'm going to show you this scripture, I just want to leave a thought with you. And the thought is that obedience, true obedience, is always obedience to God, not to an institution or a person or even the pastor. Sorry, Ruti. It's obedience to God. Secondly, obedience is costly. It doesn't come cheap. And thirdly, obedience always has results, always have a harvest. So this is my theme this morning, and from everything what I'm going to say from now on, this will come through. And I believe, really believe God showed me this, because I didn't read it anywhere. God showed me this. And I want to show you the next scripture. Next one. Yeah, you can pass that one. Before we move on, I just want to say what obedience is not. And I've already said it. Obedience is not a set of rules. You know, you get religions, and we see it on TV, where everybody bows at the same time and lift at the same time and say the same words. You know, that's not obedience. That's religion. And Paul, in Philippians 3, just hear what he says. He says, he was circumcised when I was 8 days old. He was a poor, pure-blooded citizen, a real Hebrew. He was a member of the Pharisees. He did everything to the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. He was zealous for people to be persecuted in the church. And then he says in verse 7, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done for me. So the moment he moved into a relationship with Jesus, these other things fell away. So this morning, we're not even going to talk about that type of obedience, because that's what I'm referring to. I'm going to refer to a type of obedience. I call it to be in rhythm with the Spirit of God. That's the type of obedience I'm going to talk about this morning. Next, I just want to read the example of Jesus to you. Jesus said he didn't do anything or say anything that he didn't hear from his Father. And here you see, in Philippians, Jesus said, you must have the same attitude. Well, we're told we must have the same attitude that Jesus had. What was his attitude? Next. He was God, but he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. That is the costly part. He first heard from God, his Father. Then he was willing to pay the price. And then thirdly, next slide, the consequences. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names. You see how it comes through every time? Hearing from God, the cost involved, and the harvest. Right, next slide. Now here starts my... next slide, please. Next one. Yes. I want to say something about water baptism this morning, and I want to give you my testimony. You know, my obedience to God started the day I was baptized with water. And I just want to give you this short testimony. We came from a very traditional background, Rihanna and myself. And then God took us to explore new things. We started exploring the things of the Spirit, and with that came water baptism. Now, we were leaders in a church where that was not accepted, not at all. And so I studied the Word of God regarding this, and God told me this was the only baptism in the Bible, was water baptism as an adult after you've been saved. So I knew it, but I didn't do it. At that time, we became friends with a prophet. He was a real prophet. He was in his 80s. He stayed in our house for 3 months. His name was George Dulat. He's the most prophetic man I've ever met in my life. He was known all over the country. And this guy, he was like having Jesus in the house. You know, he was so loving. You know, he was a little, you could just hug him. He was like a little teddy bear. And the love just poured from this man. And one evening, he looked at me and he says, "Johan, have you been baptized?" I said, "No, Uncle George." He said, "Why not?" And I had many reasons why not. One was I wasn't willing to pay the price. Although God has spoken to me, the cost was too high, because I would have to leave everything that was dear to me behind with the church. And he said, he looked at me in the eyes, those little blue eyes, and he says, "You know what, Johan? You're just plain obedient, disobedient." That's what he said. There was no love when he said that. And I would not have impressed him if I said I want to go and hear from God, you know, and spend fasting 2 weeks. Or you don't have to do that, because it's a command from God. Be baptized. Okay, now I had the command. I knew I had to do it, and I was willing to pay the price. So what did I do next? I had to find somebody to baptize me. But you know, I wanted to be baptized as sort of now, not tomorrow. Now, it was an urgency in my heart. I can't explain it to you. And I knew about a church, a big charismatic church, where they baptize on Wednesday evenings. Shucks, and I've been to these baptismal services before. And you know what they always do? They invite people who haven't done the course. Say, "Is there anybody perhaps here who didn't do the course but still wants to be baptized?" And I was sitting there just wanting to put up my hand. They didn't ask that question that night. So I had to still find somebody. So I find a Baptist preacher in Paro. And Rihanna and myself were baptized the same Sunday evening in front of a congregation that we didn't know. But before he baptized me, this guy came to me and he said, visited me, and he said, "You know, Johan, the doopred." What he was saying is baptism saves. And I thought, just now I'm really, now is a great idea, my car with the sector, eh? Want die doop red nie. Jy word net gered deur die Here in jou lewe aan te neem. And then he looked at me with a smile and he says, "Johan, die doop red van ongehoorsaamheid." And I want to leave that with you this morning. My walk with the Lord, my in obedience, started with being baptized. And you know, people will ask you, but it's just being dumped under the water, and how can that be so profound? It's profound because it's a sacrament. And things happen in the spiritual realm that we don't understand. But if you haven't been baptized and you are a child of God, I just want to tell you this morning, it's a thing to do. Okay, so I was baptized. What were the consequences? We had to leave the church. And you know what I am today, and what my children are today, and the fact that I'm standing here in front of you today talking like this, is because of that one act of obedience. Right, so can we have the, yes, you know, the morning before I woke up, no, one morning after I told Retief I was willing to come and share with you this morning, and suddenly I felt this was the wrong thing. I just don't have anything to say to you. And then I remembered this verse in Scripture, and I said, "Yes, Lord, but I don't know where it is in the Bible. I have a faint clue." But you know what happened that morning? The Lord gave it to me in my quiet time. And then for me, it was a Rhema word that I have to stand here this morning, because it's that word. Colossians 2:12 says, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." I want to say, if you are a Christian, and you know, when you come to Christ, your old self dies. It says that is so. But you can carry that dead body of disobedience with you the rest of your life, or you can bury it. How do you bury it? By baptism. And I couldn't help smiling when some of our bigger members here in the congregation were recently baptized in a little pool that big, and how Tien struggled to get every member of the body under the water. He didn't want a punky to stick out, you know. Why not? It will keep beyond disobedient. The moment, everything has to be buried. You know, you can't leave in everything out when you're baptized. Right, so next slide. So I want to give you this testimony. You know what's the first thing the Lord touched in my life after being baptized regarding obedience? Is money. And I thought about this and I thought, why money, Lord? You know why money? Because money has got a lot to do with the unholy trinity. You know the unholy trinity? I, me, myself. This is the old self that was now under the water. I could never tithe before I was baptized. And you know the church where I was before I became I was baptized, nobody in that church tithed either. And then I realized now why not, because they were not baptized. You need to be baptized to be obedient. I know I'm very dogmatic now, but in my case, it was like that, and I believe it's very important. So I started tithing. And then Rihanna and myself, we really needed a new car. You know, we traveled to our parents in the Transvaal every summer, and everything went well as far as Van der Bijl Park, and then everything went wrong in the car. It was war. And they said, Lord, can't we just have a car with three seats, please? A combi, a new combi. And we started saving up for that. And you know, one night a lady from Radio Pulpit came to visit us. And she asked me whether I would be willing to increase the monthly payment for Radio Pulpit. You know what I did that evening? I gave the full amount of money I had to pay on the combi to Radio Pulpit. When she left that house, I said to her, bye-bye, combi. There goes the combi. And Rihanna said, what on earth have you done? I said, I don't know. I just, God said I must do it, so I did it. You know what happened? We got a brand new combi within 6 months, paid. And you know, then for the first time, I realized how exciting it is to walk this walk with God of obedience. It's the only way. Otherwise, you're just religious. You don't have the excitement. So, yes, you have to hear from God. That's what Retiva has been talking about now for a long time. Yes, it's going to cost you something. You see the combi disappearing out down the street. But you know what? The new combi is on its way. It's coming out of the garage. You know, yes, I think I'm going to skip a bit, and I want to come to the next you know, the next thing that God gave us to be obedient is He said, be filled with the Spirit. Just as water baptism is not an option, it's a command from God, you don't have to think or see God's face for it, the same with being filled in the Spirit. You can't live the obedient life without having the Spirit of God. And, you know, I just want to give you an example. You know, it says in Galatians 5, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now, you know, shortly after we received the water baptism, both of us were baptized by the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine a Dutch reform? Excuse me, I should have said that. But very, very traditional Christian, suddenly speaking in tongues. I mean, it's funny. But that's what the Lord did with us. And He baptized us in the Holy Spirit. And you know, I like that part which says, walk in the Spirit. And I'll tell you why. And I'm going to give you an example now. And I'm going to give you another testimony. Sometimes, you know, this whole morning, the worship team told us, and also the offering message was about closeness to God. You know, you can't hear God's voice if you're not close to Him. And sometimes you honestly don't have time to go and separate yourself for 2 weeks and pray and fast to hear what God says. You must be there when He talks. And I'm going to give you an amazing testimony to just explain to you what I'm talking about, why we must walk in the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit all the time. You know, we recently built a little cottage in Stanford, and the neighbors behind us, to put it very softly, they were not nice to us. For the simple reason they didn't want a house in front of them, but they were really, really nasty. So the two of us started praying for them, and things softened up a bit, and eventually we became sort of, you know, visiting each other. We invited them over for a lunch, and they did the same to us. But when they came to visit us, I prayed at the table for the food. And they were a bit shaken when I did that because they are not Christians. Then a few months later, or a year later, we prayed for them regularly. Another neighbor phoned us and said that the wife has toppled over from the stoop and she's broken her neck. And, you know, just before that, she shared with Rihanna and said that her life was in a mess and she had nothing to live for. You know, things like that. And she was not physically in a good way. And that weekend we went to Stanford, and her husband was devastated. The son came from Australia. He was devastated. And the Lord said, we must give them take some food over to them. Eventually, they came over to our place. And Rihanna said, why don't you join us for the meal together? You know, you don't have to have it separately. But the son was devastated. He was, could see in his eyes. He wept just before he came to see us because it's his mom. And they can't get her off the ventilator. And she's in a very bad way. And it's like this or that. She may survive or she may not. So, you know what the Lord told me to do at the table? I said, oh yes, when we sat down for the meal, he said, and now I suppose you're going to pray again. That's what he said for the food. I said, yes, you know what? And I'm going to ask your permission. May I pray for your wife, for your wife's healing? And he said, yes. And the son had tears in his eyes. You know what? Retief said the other day, our Afrikaners, we're a funny bunch. We don't like praying in public and attending prayer meetings, but we never eat before we pray. Isn't that funny? But I've decided you can use a simple prayer table for other things, and I'm doing it more and more now. So we prayed in agreement for his wife. Okay, so we left Stanford. That was the Thursday. The next Tuesday, Rihanna said, don't you think you must give John a ring and just hear what's happened to his wife? I said, Here, ek het nie die geloof om dit te doen nie, want sy is op haar laaste, en maar ek moet dit maar doen, you know? So I pick up the phone and I phone. You know what's his first words? God has healed my wife. She's coming home on Friday. Not transferred to another hospital. She's coming home. And you know, she's gained 14 kilos since this. She's not paralyzed in any way. And last Sunday, when we were not in church here, you know where we were? We were invited to her husband's 70th birthday party. And it was a very select group of people who were invited because they had not many seats. It was a posh occasion, and Rihanna and myself were there. But you know what? They're still not Christians. But they are totally changed towards us. And now we just trust God to do the rest. But you know, if I didn't have the Spirit, the connection with the Holy Spirit that day, I wouldn't have prayed that prayer. I wouldn't have the faith to do it or the boldness to do it. So I want to encourage you, walk this walk with the Spirit of God. We need it for obedience. Next slide. You know, I just want to say that you must not feel bad if you think of your life and of things that, you know, you definitely know this morning you were disobedient. You know, the one exception is Abraham. Why do you think he's called the father of faith? Abraham was amazing. God says, go and sacrifice your only son. Just picked up the donkey, packed up the donkey and went, taking out the knife. And at that moment, God came through. What do you see there? God's voice, the cost involved. What was the harvest? He said, the nations, that was the harvest, just because of one man's obedience. But, you know, Jonah was not as obedient as Abraham. It took a while to get him to Nineveh. And Jeremiah, when he was called to God, he said, I'm too young. I'm very sorry. Moses said, I'm sorry, I stutter. But you know what? I want to tell you something this morning, not to scare you, but it's the truth. If God has laid his hand on your life and he has a plan for your life, you'll not get away. It's much better to obey earlier than later, because God has a way of not letting you get away. And now I want to tell you a wonderful testimony. We have a cousin, and he's almost as good as Abraham. I want to tell you this testimony. He is a co-heir of the largest wine farm in South Africa. He's not an alcoholic, but he enjoys wine. Because he's the owner of, they make the most amazing wines, you know, this farm. It's Rihanna's farm, where Rihanna comes from. One morning, after he had 3 glasses of wine, he said the previous night, he was standing in front of the mirror, shaving, and a scripture came up in his head. But he said, Johan, it was as clear as anything. I can't remember. Something like Ezekiel 8, verse 14. He said, so he went to read it. And you know, Johan, you know what it said? I must not drink wine again. I said, what did you do? He said, I won't ever have wine again. Immediately. And you know what's happening now is that wherever he goes and everybody recognizes him as coming from that farm, he asks for grape juice. And what do the people ask? Why don't you drink wine? And then he gives his testimony. Isn't that? But you know, that man's obedience. You know, I just kind of guna places in dunked on, you know, how obedient. But you know what? After the Lord spoke to him, what didn't he do? He didn't burn down all the vineyards on his farm because he's now evil. Do you know that it happened in Stanford? So Robert Stanford's farm, the whole family came to the Lord 50 years ago, and suddenly vineyards and wine was evil and they burned everything down. And the new farmer had to, 20 years ago, had to replant everything. No, he didn't do that. He doesn't judge other people who drink wine. He will even come to you and bring off his best wines to meals. But he won't touch it. And it's totally irrational, but that's God asking that man not ever to touch wine again. Are you not encouraged by his obedience? You know, yeah, I know that the Lord has got an amazing plan for his life. Yeah, next slide. I think I have spoken about the cost, so we can skip this one. I just want to say something about the blessing of obedience. You know, in our walk with the Lord, Rihanna has taken the two of myself and Rihanna along strange roads. We almost touch on the prosperity gospel, or we were in a church that at one stage was, you know, a bit like they're almost there. And you know, I just thought again where deception comes in. It's when you take something out of context. The whole Bible is of God's goodness, and that he wants to bless you, and that he is a God of prosperity. But you know what? You can't take the prerequisite or the thing out of the way, and that's obedience. If you look at God's promises in the Word about his goodness, it's almost always connected to being obedient. And I want to give you this wonderful word in Psalm 81. I read it 2 mornings ago, and I thought I must share it with you. This is one of my famous psalms. I also gave this to Herman and Sumeri. Sumeri won't remember that. But in their wedding card, I wrote this for them. The Lord says, Psalm 81, oh, that my people would listen to me. Oh, that Israel would follow me, walking in my paths. How quickly I would then subdue their enemies. How soon my hands would be upon their foes. I would feed you with the finest wheat, and I would satisfy you with wild honey from the rock. Isn't that beautiful? God says, I want to give you the best. I have only the best in mind for you. But you know what? There is a cost involved. You must obey me and you must follow me. Not in a religious way, but being obedient to my spirit. And you know, I'll be very honest with you. Now, when Retief asked me to share a word here, I told Retief and said, Retief, not now, because I'm preparing for a conference. We're going to an international conference soon, and I've got 2 talks, and I just don't make progress with those 2 talks. And I can't have a divided mind. I can't do that and prepare a word for the church. oh, what was the Lord's reaction? He said, nonsense. You're going to do it. And then I phoned him and I said, okay, Retief, I'll do it. And the Lord gave me a word. He gave me the word I'm giving you this morning. And you know what? My talks are finished. And this is just, was at the, again on the prayer army Thursday evening, the Lord just laid in our hearts again. He says, first seek the kingdom of God, and all things will be added to you. You know, we want to do things our way, but true obedience is God's way, with the cost involved, and with the expectation of a wonderful harvest and a wonderful result. Right, so next slide. I was so blessed this morning when the worship team and also the offering message, you know, it was about our heart's condition. And I just thought by myself, what is it that makes one person obedient to God and the other not? And I think it all has to do with the heart. And I just want to end off with this amazing scripture in Isaiah 66. It says, I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word. You know what it means to tremble? It means to have reverence for. It means to honor. When you read God's word and he says, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit, not to have your own ideas, but to bow your knees and to do. That's trembling. That's the fear of the Lord in your life. And I looked up the meaning of the word contrite because I must be honest with you, I didn't know what the meaning was exactly. So I went to the dictionary. I was surprised to hear that it's a word that is 10, dis die woord wat op die oomblik die 10de meeste opgesoek word van alle woorde. So mense is geïnteresseerd in die woord. They're interested in this word because they read it in scripture. Contrite means a remorseful heart, a heart which is quick to say sorry, also to God, when you are disobedient. That's a contrite heart. And you all know what a humble heart is. But that tremble at the word, I also want to say that word is not only the written word of God, it's also the Rhema word of God. And Retief has spoken a lot about the Rhema word of God, hearing God's voice. And you know, I want to tell you something today. If God gives you a Rhema word, he doesn't give it to us for entertainment. He has a mighty plan with that word because he wants you to do something, but he can't do it if we don't obey. So a Rhema word for me is almost the ultimate of what I've said earlier, hearing from God, not counting the cost, doing it, and seeing a mighty harvest. So when you have a Rhema word from God, like I had for this message this morning, you just obey and you just do it. Right, lastly, I just want to encourage all of us, we are all works in progress. You know, somehow some of us find it easier to obey in certain areas than others, and we all have areas in our life where we struggle with. But you know, the amazing thing is this scripture says, Proverbs 24:16 says, the godly may trip 7 times, but they will get up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. And you know, just the fact that you're here this morning, just the fact that you're continuing, that you haven't given up, is just a sign that God has laid his hand on your life and on my life, and he won't let go of us before he's accomplished in our lives what he wants to do. And we all fall, and we're all disobedient at times, but the amazing thing is, don't give up, never give up, because God will eventually complete. And I want to leave you with this last scripture, which says it's God, I think it's in Philippians, which says it's God that started the good work in us, and he will complete it, even obedience. We can't be obedient out of our own strength. Then it's a law and it's a fleshly thing. When we're obedient to God, it's inspired by his Spirit. Amen. Right, I'm just going to pray for us. Yes, Lord, first of all, this morning, Lord, we just want to thank you, Jesus, because you're the ultimate example of obedience, Jesus. Thank you that you were willing, Lord, to leave your heavenly place, Lord, of King, to come to this earth. Thank you that you were willing to die for us, that you paid the price. And thank you, Lord, that because of that, we have your Spirit, Lord, in us, that leads us from moment to moment and encourages us and gives us boldness and makes us strong. Lord, and this morning I just pray for every person in this church, including myself, and ask that you lead us, Lord, as two people dance together in rhythm, Lord, to beautiful music. I ask that you will lead us to come into that rhythm, Lord, with your Spirit, to not only walk with your Spirit, Lord, but to dance with your Spirit, Lord. And to see, Lord, as we grow in intimacy with you, hearing your voice and responding to you, to see the amazing things, Lord, you are going to do and you want to do in our lives. Lord, thank you that we know it's not a religious thing. It's only about you and your perfect will for us. And thank you that your ultimate will for us, Lord, is to bless us and to give us the best, the finest wheat, Lord, and honey for the taking. And Lord, we just ask that you will be with us in this day as we leave this place, and that you will be continue, Lord, to minister this word to our lives, even in the days and weeks to come. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to say, regarding the water baptism, if there's anybody that was perhaps touched this morning by this message, I would like you to come to Retief and discuss it with him. Also, anybody who hasn't received baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I would like you as well to come to the leadership about that. But if there's anybody else here this morning who just needs, we're not going to pray for you about that. That's commands of God. You don't have to, you know. We'll just trust you and God to come to the point where you decide. But if there's anybody else that needs prayer for anything, you're welcome to come and we'll pray with you. Thank you.
I wish I could rewind that and listen to it again. There's so much meat in that. Thank you, Johan. I was really blessed by that, and I know you guys as well, but we'll try to get that up as soon as possible so that we can listen to it again. There sure has been a lot of conviction in my own heart. Thank you very much for sharing your life. As I prayed, I think on Thursday, you couldn't prepare for this in a week. Your life has been, and your lifestyle has been your preparation, and we're privileged to be able to share in that. And we thank you for that. You guys should have an awesome week. I'm not going to pray again, otherwise, I would have loved to, but you guys should have a great week. Grab some coffee, and please come forward if you've got anything on your heart that we can pray for. Obviously, the obedience of both water baptism and being baptized by the Spirit. Then please do come and chat, but if there's any other prayer requests, please don't let the moment slip by. We'd love to pray with you. I'm sure everyone will pray with you guys, likewise would I. But anyway, enjoy your week. God bless.